I wonder how many of you are like me. This was the week that we ordered our Christmas cards this year. How many else of you all are sending out Christmas cards this year? All right, now's the time. Shutterfly tells me, got to get them ordered right away. We have this tradition, Matthew and I, that we take a picture from sometime over the last year, and we use that as a photo for our card for the coming Christmas. And so I was thinking about how that's the same as the tradition when I was growing up. So I went back and looked at some of the old Christmas cards when I was growing up. And this is from when I was 1 year old with my big sister right in front of the little altar rail at the church where we grew up in Gaithersburg. So every year my parents would pick out a picture where me and my sister were getting along. That was the key feature you had to pick for the photo. Sometimes it'd just be a nice picture of something from earlier in the year. So like this year, we painted pumpkins for Halloween. So they said, well, that's good enough for Christmas. And so they just used that for Christmas. Or sometimes it was just a nice moment that they caught on film, like this year that was the first year that we both went to the same elementary school together. Whatever moment the photos captured, though, that same feature had to be there. It had to be a moment of peace between the two siblings. No matter how much we had fought that year, the Christmas card has to show a moment of peace. Peace on earth and mercy mild. Let's make sure those sisters are reconciled. Don't we all want that kind of peace at Christmas? We all want to send perfectly happy, joy-filled Christmas cards with all the kids getting along and our families filled with hope and peace and love and joy. But I think for a lot of us, more days than not, our Christmas moments look a little bit more like this. I wonder if there's any parents or grandparents that know what I'm talking about. We want picture-perfect family moments, but instead we end up with this. You laugh because this is your house. Or we end up with this. Even adult children can be a pain. Or my favorite, this one. Which just like gets better the more you look at it. Or you end up with this one. Peace from our kitchen to yours. Does anybody have a kitchen that looks like this time of year? Peace on earth, goodwill to all people. Is this what peace looks like for you? Moments that you just catch a breath between going from one place to another? Quick stolen moments for a cup of coffee or maybe a glass of wine? Tired moments to talk with your spouse after the kids go to bed? Is this your picture of peace this time of year? Mine too. Mine too. This time of year, peace is hard to find in little snippets. But the prophet Isaiah gives us two different pictures of what peace looks like. And the peace that the prophet talks about is more than just stolen moments of calm when the kids aren't fighting with each other. The peace of the prophet is one that lasts far beyond those moments, and it's one that can sustain us through all of the tumult of the holidays. The peace that comes from God is a peace that is filled with justice. A shoot, the scripture says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots the branch will bear fruit. This is the first picture that Isaiah paints in this scripture that has two pictures of peace. This first one, he's not just talking about any old stump that he saw on the side of the road. He's actually talking about a family tree. The family tree of King David that got cut down. Remember, King David was the king that showed the reign of peace, and there was such a peaceful and prosperous time when King David was the leader in charge. And so Isaiah says, remember that family tree that God cut down? Something new is going to come out of it. He says, see that stump? You thought that it was dead and done, but something new is coming forth. There's going to be a leader who is strong and noble and devoted to justice. There's going to be a leader, the kind of leader you can trust, because his integrity comes from God. The Spirit of God has given this leader wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord. Isaiah says, this leader trusts in God's love. When he speaks, things change. The people who are in power, who got there and by using deceit and lies, they are held accountable. And the people who have been held down or hurt or ignored, they get what they need. They find comfort. They find grace. This leader, says Isaiah, this leader does not just rely on what he sees or what he hears, because he is not deceived by those things. No, he makes decisions on what he knows is right, on what is fair, and on what is true. Isaiah was talking about a leader in his time and for his people, but for us as Christians, we see this pointing forward to Jesus, who is our leader still today. And isn't that good news, that that's the kind of leader that we follow? But Isaiah doesn't just stop there, because the next image that he paints expands the good news to all of creation. And I wonder if you can find in this painting, whoop, there we go. I wonder if you can find in this painting all the different animals that Isaiah mentions in this next picture that he paints. He says the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, the lions will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand in the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth, and catch this metaphor here at the end, the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord in the same way that the waters fill the sea. No wonder the hymn says, "Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings." In Pennsylvania in the 1800s, there's a man named Edward Hicks who loved this piece of scripture. He was a Quaker minister in early Pennsylvania, and he was obsessed with this passage. And I know he was obsessed because he's the one who painted this image. And he painted it a lot of times. Like he just kept painting it over and over and over and over and over again. This is the most famous one of his many Peaceable Kingdom paintings. This is the one that's in the Smithsonian down in D.C. But in each painting, you see the images of Scripture right in the forefront, right? All the animals gathered there. You can see the ox right in the center with the curved horns, and he's eating straw right next to the lion, who's also eating straw. You can see the spotted leopard there in the foreground with the little goat with the horns right behind it, laying down together. On the right, you can see the wolf and the lamb all living together in peace. And then every single time he paints it, he painted little children leading and playing together in safety, sometimes even putting the Christ child in the painting, leading and finding peace and wholeness. But here's the thing I find fascinating about this picture of God's peaceable kingdom. The thing is that in order for this to work, a lot of things have to change. I think sometimes we think just like the violent animals have to be more calm, right? But everything has to change in order for this to work. The wolf has to become gentle, but the lamb has to become brave. In order for them to live together, then lie down side by side, the leopard has to overcome his killer instincts, and the goat has to trust that this is a safe new relationship. In order for the children to lead and to play in peace in this scene, the animals have to be safe, right? Like, these are not animals you'd send your kids in to see and at a petting zoo, right? The animals have to become safe animals, and the children then have to have curiosity and courage to be able to venture forth, to even engage. If the peaceable kingdom is to come about, everything must change. You see, this is not a trite kind of peace that Isaiah is talking about. This isn't a cheap peace or just a moment of calm. This isn't like that movie where all the beauty contestants in Miss Congeniality just say, what do you want? And you want world peace, right? This is not that trite kind of wish. This is a deep, transformative, creation-wide change. A peace that comes through justice, where everyone gets what they need. And Isaiah shows us that that justice comes when we seek peace. Peace leads to justice, justice leads to peace, and both lead us to know God more and more. I wonder, where do you see the need for justice in the world? Where do you see the need for change, for wholeness, for healing, for peace? The painter, Edward Hicks, he saw the need for peace and justice all around him. He was a Quaker in the time in the Quaker church when the church was splitting and always arguing with one another. And he was discouraged by the injustice he also saw throughout his community in Pennsylvania. That's why in each of his paintings, he doesn't just include these animals that are in Isaiah. No, if you look in the back of each of the paintings, he also has a whole set of people tucked there in the back. Sometimes he'd include groups of Quakers as if to say, come on, Quakers, we got to get it together and get along in God's peaceable kingdom. But most often, he painted this scene here. We're going to zoom into it so you can see what it is. This is a scene from 1680, so from 200 years before the painter painted this, of William Penn signing a treaty with the Lenape people, who were the native people living in what we know as Pennsylvania. For the painter, he had seen that since that treaty had been signed, a lot had broken down, and there was a lot of abuses on both sides. But he looked back to this moment when both peoples came together and changed and agreed to live in peace and justice with one another, and he thought, wow, that is an example of the peace that God is calling us to. Blessed are the peacemakers, said Jesus, for they will be called children of God. Hicks remembered this moment from our American history and marked it as a sign of the peace-filled kingdom to inspire us. I wonder where you've seen examples of peacemakers in our world. Who inspires you to seek peace and to work for justice? When you imagine God's peaceable kingdom, God's peace-filled kingdom, who would you put in the background as your example of what it looks like to live in peace? What is your picture of peace? This Christmas, I don't want to limit my imagination. I don't want to limit my imagination of what peace can be. It's too easy, right? I don't want to have a small view of what peace is, something that's so dominated by my stress that peace just becomes getting a breath between my many tasks. I don't want to limit my imagination to that. I want to dream with the prophets. I want to follow Jesus, the Prince of Peace. I want to follow a leader who is just and who is true. One who brings new life where we thought nothing was possible. Friends, this is the Prince of Peace who is coming, coming to save and to change everything. May we follow him passionately, and may we, in doing so, truly bring glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. May it be so.